I want to preface my remarks this morning by, in essence, asking you to forgive me for one reason, and hear me out. We live in extremely hard times. And I'm not going to stand here and be a prophet and say the times are going to get harder, because I know they are, and so do you. But I want to stand here and tell you today that some of you are going through the hardest time in your life. They used to say there's too much month left at the end of the money. It's such that right now, it's not even taking 3 weeks out of a month. I know, and I've talked to people in the last year at times that have told me that they get paid on such and such a day, and in 2, maybe 3 days, they're broke. Wouldn't it be good if we had a recipe that we could know we'll always have enough? I'm not talking about a new house, not even a new truck, new boats, new golf clubs, none of that. But if there was a plan that we would always have enough, always have enough. Wouldn't you want to know about that? I mean, I would. And so I stand before you today. I've been here going on 15 years. And I've gone back, this is the second, maybe third, but I know it's at least the second time I've ever preached about money in this church. And I am at fault in this. We need to know God's plan for your finances and my finances in order that we might live a life that is having our needs met. And I don't talk about that enough. There's a lot of reason for that. One of the things that I don't like to do is have people say, well, that's all they want, and that's all they talk about in that church is money. Your Bible in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, you don't have to go there right now, it says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And because of that desire for, my Bible says, craving for money, some have even lost their faith because of the love of money. Look at your faces, and some of you are saying, ain't got nothing to love, ain't got nothing to love. Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Everybody there? We got a neat thing going on right now. I didn't know it. Shoni? That's her name? Shoby! Hello! She's in England. And Wayne Skypes her our services. Isn't that cool? I just saw her sitting over there, so it's cool. We all greet you in the name of Jesus. Chapter 9. Amen. You got to laugh when we're going to talk about money, right? Because some of you are going, oh, God, don't go talk about that. Let's talk about something about Jesus coming back or something. He is coming back. But until then, yes, I'm reading for the New Living Translation this morning. I do that simply because I'm reading this Bible this year, and it says things so cool. Am I not as free as anyone else? Am I not an apostle? Haven't I seen Jesus our Lord with my own eyes? Isn't it because of my work that you belong to the Lord? Even if others think that I'm not an apostle, I certainly am to you. You yourselves are proof that I am the Lord's apostle. This is my answer to those who question my authority. Don't we have the right to live in your homes and share your meals? Don't we have the right to bring a Christian wife with us as the other disciples and the Lord's brothers do and as Peter does? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have to work to support ourselves? What soldier has to pay his own expenses? What farmer plants a vineyard and doesn't have the right to eat some of its fruit? What shepherd cares for a flock of sheep and isn't allowed to drink some of the milk? Am I expressing merely a human opinion, or doesn't the law say the same thing? For the law of Moses says you must not muzzle an ox to keep from eating as it treads out the grain. Paul is, and I just read 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I know that. I want to read this because Paul is setting down a basis of something. People are saying he doesn't do anything but talk to us. So why should we give him anything? Boy, this is starting off on the wrong foot already. That's okay. That's all right. Hang with me, okay? Promise you're not going to get up and walk out. Promise me. Come on. Pinky promise. I'm trying to get to the point of cheerful giving, okay? Jovial giving. Hilarious giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I really don't need to write you about this ministry of giving for the believers in Jerusalem. For I know how eager you are to help, and I have been boasting to the churches in Macedonia that you in Greece were ready to send an offering a year ago. In fact, it was your enthusiasm that stirred up many of the Macedonian believers to begin giving. But I am I'm watching some of your faces. It's okay. It really is saying the same thing as your Bible, honest, it really is. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Okay. Good morning! Hallelujah! Amen! We'll start over again. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We started, I wanted to read a little bit out of 1 Corinthians 9 to set the stage for what Paul wanted to talk about. Now, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You're all so welcome. Now, that's what everybody was having that funny look on your face. I thought it was gas pains because you were fasting and eating only vegetables. I really don't need to write to you about this ministry of giving for the believers in Jerusalem. For I know how eager you are to help, and I have been boasting to the churches in Macedonia that you in Greece were ready to send an offering a year ago. In fact, it was your enthusiasm that stirred up many of the Macedonian believers to begin giving. But I am sending these brothers to be sure you really are ready, as I have been telling them, and that your money is all collected. Now, you will read that this says food. It does not say food. It says money. There is a human desire. Wherever it says money in the Bible, we want to put another word in there. We don't want it to say money, but that's what it says. I don't want to be wrong in my boasting about you. We would be embarrassed, not to mention your own embarrassment, if some Macedonian believers came with me and found that you weren't ready after all that I had told them. So I thought I should send these brothers ahead of me to make sure the gift you promised is ready. But I want it to be a willing gift, not one given grudgingly. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And it's often said, and it's something we need to know, that word is the word from which we get our word hilarious. Cheerful. And God will generously provide all you need. God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. Now, I'm going to ask Sean. Oh, it's off. Okay. That's all right. That's all right. When we talk about giving in the church, there are two words that we use. We use the word offering. Everybody knows that, right? Clap if you like the word offering. Okay. Hallelujah. And we use the word tithing. Now, clap if you like the word tithing. Hallelujah. That don't happen in a lot of churches. It goes something like this. That's in the law, and I'm under grace, therefore I'm not under the law. I don't have to obey that law. You ever heard that? You ever said that? You hear it. You hear it a lot. The basis of all giving, tithes or offerings, is this. It's found in Psalms 24 and 1. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Let me put that in the surface translation. Everything belongs to God. Everything in the whole wide world. It all belongs to God. So, in a mathematical sense, if that's one of the variables that we've established, that God owns everything on the earth, then the other end of the equation is God doesn't need anything. God's not broke. God's not, and this is important for us to understand. Sometimes we fall into the lie of the devil and we listen to the devil. God's going to bless Sister Irma, or God's going to bless Kyle, but He's not going to bless me. He can't just be blessing all of us. Yes, He can. You cannot bankrupt heaven. Those saints used to say and still do, you cannot outgive God. That's the truth. So God owns everything. It's a foundation. He doesn't need anything. So we don't give to God because He needs it, but because we want to honor and worship and bless the one who gave it to us. That's what it's all about. It's in the law. I'm not under the law. Do you know that it was being done before there ever was a law? Abraham, in chapter 24 of Genesis, paid tithe. Tithe, the Hebrew word for the tenth, he gave it to Melchizedek. And I read yesterday, well, this wasn't money. It was It was the spoils of war. He didn't give money. Let me tell you what he gave. He gave everything he had control over. He gave one-tenth of everything he had control over. Last Sunday night, I preached about Jacob and his vow to God at Bethel. He said, if you'll take care of me, if you'll bring me home to my home safely, and you give me my food to eat, and you do all of this, then you will be my God, and I will give you the tithe. And that was screwed up, kind of, in a way. He's telling God, if you do this, then I will do that. If I have $100 left over at the end of the month, I'll give God something. We'll get to the pin drop section here pretty quick. Before there was a law, there was giving, tithing giving. But that was under the law. Well, so was thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness. All of those were under the law too. We think those are okay. But when it comes to tithing, let me be very honest with you. I'll be the first one to tell you this. There is no real hardcore evidence in the New Testament that tithing was still taking place. There is no hardcore scriptural evidence. Can you guys put up Matthew chapter 23? Matthew chapter 23. I just want you to look at this for a second. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples. No. In Matthew 23, just look through there if you can. What I'm wanting is when Jesus was rebuking the Pharisees. And he said, you guys are extremely careful to pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. Look what Jesus is saying. You go out and the littlest little leaves that you have on your windowsill, your spices, there's 10 leaves. You take one of them and you put it in the temple offering. But you omit the weightier matters of the law. Mercy and justice. He said, this you ought to have done and not leave the other undone. It's right that you pay your tithes, but you don't omit the other weightier things of the gospel. Jesus said the same thing. You have heard it said, thou shalt not kill. But I say, thou shalt not even hate your brother, for he who hates his brother is guilty as if you murdered your brother. Jesus goes beyond the law. He makes it even more complete, and that's what he said he was going to do. He said he didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law. Judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done and not leave the other undone. You're okay, you're paying your tithes, but don't forget the big things. This is probably as close to a reference in the New Testament about Jesus saying tithing is okay as there is. Again, there is no hardcore reference in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 7. Jesus says, or the writer of Hebrews is comparing Jesus and Melchizedek. Melchizedek is the priest, the high priest, the one, the Melchizedek is what his name is. It means king of righteousness. and peace. King of Salem, King of Shalom, King of peace. And Abraham paid tithe to him. And now Jesus, who is greater than Abraham, is here. Now the inference can be made in my mind that here in this place, that paying tithe is okay. It's okay. It's okay. Tithing worked before the law, it worked during the law, and it works after the law. If you want to find out how good it works, talk to somebody who is a regular tither. A regular tither. When they get their check, 1/10 of that amount goes to the church. And let me address this, because this is a problem. Paul is talking about taking an offering down to Jerusalem. He's not talking about taking an offering and putting it in the church. There wasn't a church then. No, they were having church from house to house. They would go to a church in one person's house and they would have a Lord's Supper and they'd be fed in that house. That's cool. But we got a church. Unless you want us to meet next week in your house and you can provide for 50, 60 people to sit down and maybe coffee and something to eat or a Lord's Supper after, we've got a church. Everybody be real quiet for a second. Just 1 second. Real quiet. You hear that blowing? You hear that blowing? That's about $350 a month. That blowing sound. There are things that we have to pay for. There are things that the house of God requires. And so we bring our best to God. And we say, God, I know the church has this need, but I'm giving this to you. I'm giving it to you. Now, the little bald-headed guy will answer to you someday on how he spent what I gave to you. That's the reality of things. The tithe is given to God. It was brought into the temple. Because the Levites and the priests, that's how they made their living. They couldn't be paid. They couldn't have jobs. They couldn't own land. They couldn't own houses. They were paid by what came into the temple. And that they called the tithe. And there was also offerings, tithes and offerings that were made. You know, there were three tithes in the Old Testament. You tithe the first fruits of everything that came in. And then on a holy day when you went to Jerusalem, you took another tithe, and that was for the holy day. So on Pentecost Sunday, you came bringing your second tithe to give to the temple so they could pay for all the extra services that had to go on. And then every third year, there was a tithe that was brought to the temple, given to the priest, so that they could give to those who were in need. Three tithes. If you didn't pay your tithes in the Old Testament and you were 2 weeks late, it was okay. You put your tithe in the offering plus 20%. Now you see how wonderful it is to be under grace. It was the real deal. You didn't give. You gave so that the temple and the worship could function. Now, we don't have a temple anymore. Like I said, we have a church. We have a building. We have a program that we support. Well, I tithe. But I tithe to... Who do you tithe to? I send my tithes to Benny Hinn. Because Benny Hinn feeds me and he blesses me. Anybody here send money to Benny Hinn? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You're sending an offering to him. And you're giving it to God. And he's doing what he can do to preach the gospel with it. I send my tithes to Perry Stone. Then the next time that you have an issue, the next time there's sickness in the family, next time you need prayer, call Perry Stone. Call Perry Stone. Okay? What I'm saying is that God's tithe came into his house. It's like going to McDonald's and sitting down. Oh, Lord, how I'd love to go to McDonald's. Sit down and having three Big Macs only on two buns, about this tall. And eat them all down. And then when it comes time to pay, say, no, I've got a burden for Sonic. I'm going to pay up there. See how long McDonald's stands for that. I'm addressing the tithe now. I'm addressing the Old Testament concept of the tithe. But we're under the New Testament. We're under a new covenant. But it doesn't hurt me to say, I'm going to give 10% to God. There are some of the people in this church have given, it's been absolutely outlandish. I mean, absolutely outlandish stuff. Last year, in December, lady sent us a check. $9,000. Hallelujah. We came out in the black. Come next Sunday night and find out where we are this year. That's a mystery. It's a mystery we'll reveal next Sunday night. I remember Maisel Foster. Some of you know, Sister Jody knows her. She sold her house, $55,000. They got a check in the offering plate, and they were screaming after church was over. They had a check for $5,500 in that thing. She tithed her offering. Her sold her house and tithed it. Sister Keeling, the two that stay out there in their little house, one of them is 91 now, and the other one's going on 96, and they are still in their own house, sitting in their own chairs. She's still able to take care of her husband. She says she gives him his pills and his vitamins and all that stuff every day. They talk about their love for one another. They spend the day singing songs about the wonders and the glory of God. It's something to behold. And she will tell you right up front why it's going on. They're not in the nursing home. They've not died. They've not in the hospital for one reason. She says, you can't outgive God. She tithes everything that comes in to the house. Everything. Happy birthday, Sister Keeling. If you send her a card this week with a $10 bill, there'll be a dollar next time she pays her tithe for that $10 bill that came in. She says she has tithed since they've been Christians, and she will tell you, she says, I go in the kitchen, and she sits down at the end of the table, and she says, I get my bills, and I get my checkbook. I look at my bills, I look at the amount of money that we have, and she says, I cannot understand. There's more bills than there are money. I write out my bills, and there is always money. She'll take, go out and talk to her. It's amazing. She learned a principle. You cannot outgive God. You can't outgive God. There's just not enough money in my check to tithe. You're going at it backwards. You're going at it backwards. You're getting your check, and you're paying all your bills, and you come down and it says, zero. Sorry, God. What we do is we take our checkbook and the check, and the first check we write is for the Lord. That's His. Does He need it? No, He doesn't need it. Is He honored when we give back to Him a little of what He gives to us? A little bit of what He gives to us? Amen. Yes, He does. It honors Him. And He blesses that giving. I want us to look, if you will, at Malachi 3:10. And I want to read this out of the New Living Translation. I love how it says this. Malachi 3:10. This is the verse that we always use about tithing. I want to just put this in context for 1 minute if I can. Malachi wrote at a time when there was total darkness in the land of Israel. They were held captivity to the Romans. They were not allowed to practice their faith in the way that they wanted to because the Romans had them taxed to death. They couldn't practice their religion totally the way they wanted to because the Romans, it interfered with the Roman way of worshiping God. Men and women were being killed for their faith. Things were being introduced into Israel from Rome that were totally outlandish. Things like homosexuality. Read it. Read your history. Find out. There was ultra poverty in the land. There was drought in the land. The crops wouldn't work. There wasn't enough crops to go around. That's the time that Malachi wrote his book. And he wrote this thing saying some things that might make sense to us today. Should people cheat God? Can a man rob God, yet you have robbed me? I wonder if there is some correlation between the conditions in the land and what was being given to God. I wonder. He says, you have cheated me, in verse 8, you have cheated me of the tithes and the offerings due me. You are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do. Here's an if statement that God's making. I love these things. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven. And I'll forgive their sin, or they turn from their wicked ways. Then while I hear from heaven, forgive their sin and heal their land. Here's another if statement. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, Jehovah Sabaoth, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. I love that. Try it. Put me to the test. Try it. I love that. Try me now, herewith saith the Lord. See if I will not pour out onto you a blessing that you will not be able to contain. Let's get away from the idea of tithing as part of the law, and let's talk about the blessing of God. You know what tithing does? Tithing and giving opens the doorways to the blessings of God. I know that there are people in here, you say, well, I'm blessed. God blesses me all the time. Wow, I wonder what He would do if we started giving back to Him a little bit of what He gave us. He made the promise. But here's the verse I want to concentrate on. When there's too much month at the end of the check, when things just are not going and there's the land is, your land is cursed. We say it this way. Every time I start to get ahead, something pops up and bam, I'm broke again. You ever said that? Yeah, you have. Something pops up. It always does. My father-in-law told me a story one time. Well, we got into this discussion about tithing. He says, I don't have enough money to tithe because I got to put tires on my car. So therefore, I can't tithe this month because I got to put tires on my car. That money has got to go to get the tires. He jumped in his car and he headed to Pueblo to get the tires on his car. And right there at the Rincon corner, he told me, he says, Hito, he says, my engine fell out of my car. What it was he dropped a rod in his vehicle is what he did. And I was able to tell him, well, what do you think? That's always been a message to me. I don't know if it is to you. God, every time something pops up, every time I get a little bit ahead, something pops up. Listen to what God says. I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Malachi 3. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. All the nations will call you blessed. I love the way God says that. Every time I get ahead, something else happens. God says to us here, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Let's not talk about tithing as something that you have to do, because Paul says, don't let anybody force you to do anything. We can get so legalistic about it, and this is the truth. This is the honest truth. People who tithe look at people who don't tithe, and people who don't tithe look at people who do tithe. It's the truth. And it should not be. It ought not be. So let's get away from that stuff. Let's trust God with His Word. Try me now. Put me to the test. You know, I've heard people say, oh, I would never say that. I would never, ever say that, because you've heard television evangelists say it all the time. I would never, ever say that. God said that. Try me now herewith, saith the Lord, and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you that you will not be able to contain it. And He says, then I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Let's get out of the legality of giving. Let's look at the promises of God. If you're having problems in your life, the car doesn't run. I haven't started my car for a year. It won't start. I got to walk. The engine is on its last breath. Three cylinders are out of my motor. The roof is leaking. The plumbing is all stopped up. All these things that are going on in our life. Why don't we do this? Why don't we say, God, I read in your word that if I would do this, not because the preacher told me, but because I want to, because I love you enough to give back, if you bring the tithe and the offering into my storehouse, this is what I'll do. I'm going to take you at your word. And Lord, now I'm going to give back to you. I'm going to give back to you. I said earlier, and honestly, I'm closing. This is it. This is the landing. I can see the landing light. I said earlier, whenever it says money in the Bible, we like to put in other words. Okay? So, we have in Christianity made little bitty changes when we talked about tithes and offerings. I don't tithe money. I tithe my talent and my time. Okay. Okay. You're talented. Thank God. I want you to come with me this week to the city office building. I want us to go in to where the secretary is, where the utilities are paid, and I want you to get started. And see if she takes a stamp on the Upper Room Church of God and say, paid in full. Maybe you can get on the phone and talk to the lady from Atmos. Sing her the most beautiful song you know how to sing. She'll say, that is beautiful, but it's still $250 and I want my money. There is a need for finances. Is there a need for time and talent? You better believe it. You better believe it. But there is also a need in the body of Christ. There are needs in the body of Christ. There are missions projects that are in need, and the church helps finance those needs. I won't say anything about pickup trucks. God owns everything on a thousand hills. We give back to Him simply because He gives to us the ability to get wealth. Ray, could I get your rotas just stand up for a minute? Could you guys just stand up for 1 second? You guys, just stand up. No, just this row. Okay? Would you guys stand up? Amen. Amen. Now, would you guys in this row, would you stand up? Would you guys stand up? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Hallelujah. It worked out perfect. Amen. Sister Irma, I want you to sit down. 1/10 just sat down. See what's left? You think you can make it on 90% of what God gave you? Somehow I think we can. If we give Him the first. If we are willing to give Him the first. Why did He say that? I'll open up a window and I'll bless you and you ain't even going to be able to contain it. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Amen. We are amazed at times of what God does with faithful people. Wouldn't it be good if we allow God to amaze us? He gave us the ability to get wealth. You have the ability to make money. You've got the ability given by God to make money. But there ain't no jobs. Well, I wonder if what I have, if I gave God some of what I have. I've only got 35 cents. Well, I'll give God 3 pennies and a half. I'm just going to give it to God. I wonder if God might provide for me a job. I wonder, because Jesus Christ is my personal Savior, and I am an heir and a joint heir with Him, I wonder if I have favor with God. I'll bet you there is a job out there for me. God has given us the ability to get wealth. And you read in 2 Corinthians 9, finish reading that chapter. It says God gives to us so that we'll have everything that we need, and there will be what? Enough left over so that you can be a blessing to somebody else. That's His plan. That's His plan. Maybe if I have problems, I need to look at God's plan. Now, I don't in any way, I'll tell you this. Try tithing for 3 months. I said this one time at a youth evangelism rally in Denver, Colorado. And we had lots and lots and lots of people there. And I said, you give Him this offering, and if it isn't returned to you by God in 1 month, you call me and I'll give you your offering back. How stupid is that? Ron Byrne, he about fell out of chair. He says, that's the stupidest thing I've heard. Let me tell you this. Tithe for 3 months. The first that comes in, you give to God. When your check comes in and your check says $75, you take the $7.50 first, right off the top, and you give it to God. Do it for 3 months. If you're not blessed, if you are not blessed, if God doesn't bless you, stop tithing. Just stop. But I'm going to stand on the authority of His Word right now and say, if you are willing to try God and try His plan, you will find a way where God will always, always, always see you have enough. It's God's plan. All He's interested is in you. That's all. He doesn't care if we got 4 quarters to rub together in this church. What He's concerned about is each of you that's sitting in these seats. That's what he's concerned about. And I just want to tell God, this is my relationship with you. Lord, I believe that you give me everything I have. Therefore, I'm going to give back to you 1/10 of what you give me. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come and we come boldly. We look around us and we see the troubles that are in this country right now. We look around us and we see the troubles that are in this city right now. We look in the mirror and we look at the trials and the troubles that are surrounding me and my family. And God, I believe that there is a way that you have provided that we can have every need met. I believe that there's a way that after our needs are met, there will be that will be left over because you've promised it. God will supply all my needs in Christ Jesus. Yes, He will. Father, I believe that. But I believe if we honor you with what you provide us, there will be an increase that's going to make our eyes get real big and our hearts get real big and knowing, God, that you have one more time honored your word. Father, this morning I pray, Lord God, for those who are on financial hard times right now. Holy Spirit, would you speak to them? I pray for those right now who are established in their pattern of giving, that it's your pattern. I pray blessing on those who do on a regular basis give to you. Father, for those that can't give, would you bless them so that they can start and watch your increase and thereby bring glory to your name in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said amen. Amen. The greatest thing we can give God is ourselves. That's it. The greatest thing we can give is ourselves. But if our faith has not reached to our wallet yet, maybe that our faith hasn't reached to our heart yet either. We just need to begin to trust God. Amen? Let me ask you, if you have a need this morning and you need prayer, for whatever it is, I want you to just step out of your seat and I want you to come to the front. If you need healing in your body, I want you to come. I want you to wait. We'll lay hands on you, pray for you, and anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. We'll see God move in this place. Stand to your feet. It's hard to believe that such a little guy can have so much hot air. It's the vegetables. It's the vegetables. I give to you this morning the word of Almighty God. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you shalom in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Shake somebody's hand when you leave. Tell them you love them and don't lie.